Wow, it's hot here in the Love Shack. You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and today we've got all kinds of songs and sounds and stories for you. Songs, we are going to have all sorts of songs about abortion, and that may sound depressing and horrible, but some of these are actually fun. They come from Diggable Planets, the U.S. Girls, Clang, and Monty Python. We'll also hear the Hudson Valley Congressional Report about what all the local representatives have been up to and what the candidates that want to replace them have been up to. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Channel connection and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
MV Carbon and Zach Layton perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Friday, May 6th. WGXC will have a live web stream if you can't make it in person. MV Carbon's work focuses on sonic feedback, sound spatialization, sound morphology, and the transformative and deconstructive interrelationship between sound, image, space, and place. She is performing with Zach Layton, who will open the show. He's a guitarist, composer, curator, and teacher based in Brooklyn and Troy, New York. Tune in or turn out for MV Carbon and Zach Layton Friday, May 6th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 9 to 11 p.m. The first hour will be broadcast live on 90.7 FM, and both hours will have a web stream at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Pete DeMola reports for the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul tested positive for COVID-19 on May 8th. She made the announcement on Twitter, quote, "Thankfully, I'm vaccinated and boosted, and I'm asymptomatic," unquote, Hochul wrote. Quote, "I'll be isolating and working remotely this week. A reminder to all New Yorkers, get vaccinated and boosted, get tested, and stay home if you don't feel well," unquote. The governor's diagnosis comes as multiple high-profile politicians have contracted the virus in recent weeks, including New York City Mayor Eric Adams and Vice President Kamala Harris. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Luke Parsnow reports in New York State of Politics that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now considers Columbia, Albany, and Rensselaer counties as having, and I quote, high, end quote, community levels of the coronavirus. The CDC now recommends citizens now wear masks inside in public. In all, New York has 36 counties as having high community levels of COVID-19. The rest of the Hudson Valley are considered at medium risk right now, with only 3 New York counties considered low risk. Albany County reported May 6th its highest COVID-19 hospitalization rate since mid-February. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "This is one of the most concerning updates I've provided in a long time. The daily average of new COVID infections continues to increase and has now trended above 200. The number of residents currently in the hospital with the virus is now the highest it's been since February 17th, and sadly, individuals continue to succumb to COVID complications." Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that Katie Oldakowski, director of Greene County's Mobile Crisis Assessment Team, presented an update on the team's operations to the Greene County Legislature's Health Services Committee last week. The Health Association of Columbia and Greene County's team was established to provide crisis service to both counties with 8 hours per day set aside for each. The team includes 19 staff members, including 5 full-time employees. It has served 3,162 individual Greene County residents since the start of the program in 2015. Oldakowski told the legislature that the team has been dispatched in Greene County 2,503 times in the past 7 years. When funding through the Greene and Columbia County Healing Communities Initiative expired at the end of 2021, both counties agreed to step in and each chipped in $170,000 to fund the program annually. Oldakowski said the primary services provided include prevention, crisis intervention, and hospital discharge follow-up. She said, quote, "When you look at the total budget and you look at all the services that we provide, MCAT focuses on prevention before someone is in a crisis, and we want to link them to services and make sure that they have the resources that they need. Doctors, health insurance, whatever it is, we're going to make sure that they get connected to wherever they need to go," unquote. The team has received 97,448 phone calls from residents in distress in almost 7 years and has a 93% diversion rate for unnecessary hospitalization and a 99% diversion rate from police intervention for the calls they respond to. Greene County Mental Health Center Director Jason Fredenberg said the team provides a needed addition to his agency's staff. Quote, "My entire staff felt the difference when they came into town," unquote, Fredenberg told lawmakers. In 2019, the team provided Greene County with $636,900 in estimated cost savings by diverting police interventions, ambulance transportation, and psychiatric emergency department visits. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that the Greene County Legislature's Public Safety Committee approved $250,000 in funding for body and car cameras for Greene County sheriffs during its meeting May 4th. The full legislature is expected to vote on them. County Administrator Sean Groden said, and I quote, "It started 2 years ago when we had the Police Reform Committee. It was a recommendation that came out of the Police Reform Committee, and then during the next year's budget cycle, the board turned down the request to go to body cams. Now, Sheriff Pete Kaminsky has brought it back up because there's a general assumption that any accredited agency will pretty much be mandated to have them now. So that's pretty much being forced," end quote. Groden was pitching the cameras as police helpers. He said, and I quote, "I think more often than not, it exonerates an officer versus not, particularly with the car cameras, because we'll have one that actually shoots to the back seat. So if you try to bang your head against the back window and say, hey, I got beat up, it's going to be filmed," end quote. The story says, under the proposal, it will cost Greene County $29,940 for 60 body cameras, $106,650 for 27 police car camera kits, and $25,299 for installation in 38 police vehicles. Groden says Greene County will hire someone to edit and process the camera recordings. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
The Times Union is reporting that U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and U.S. Representative Paul Tonko on May 6th stopped by the Port of Albany to promote a plan to make the capital region into a hub of offshore wind development. The federal lawmakers announced a bill that would deploy offshore wind energy, 77,000 jobs, and cut carbon emissions. The Restoring Offshore Wind Opportunities Act would reverse a Trump-era ban on offshore wind leasing. Gillibrand said in a news release that the legislation would, quote, open the gates to innovation in clean energy, unquote. President Joe Biden has set the goal to generate 30 gigawatts of offshore wind energy by 2030. In January, the administration also announced it would auction off leases to an area of ocean called the New York Bight off the coast of New Jersey and New York. State lobbying records show that General Electric Company has recently been meeting with state and local officials about building an offshore wind manufacturing facility in the region. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Rebecca F. Ward reports in the Times Union that since Governor Andrew Cuomo resigned, the state has been moving at a similar pace to begin recreational cannabis sales. The New York legislature voted for legalizing cannabis, and Cuomo signed the measure a year ago. But then the Cuomo administration did little to build the state infrastructure to begin retail sales. Cuomo never appointed regulators to begin the process, which Governor Kathy Hochul did after she took office last August. Imani Dawson, an activist who pushed for legalization, said, and I quote, "They're taking time to be intentional. States that move really quickly tend to overlook things that they have to then go back and fix in hindsight, or they are dealing with unintended consequences," end quote. Arizona only took 3 months from legalization to sales, while Maine took 4 years. There, Governor Paul LePage opposed legalization. Heather Trella, a marijuana policy researcher at the SUNY Rockefeller Institute of Government, said, and I quote, "Governor LePage vetoed a lot of things because he didn't want it to happen. And then the pandemic hit, and that certainly delayed their initial plan," end quote. Officials have predicted that retail sales will begin in 2023 in New York. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
This is Tom Rowe in Anchor with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And Monday, the National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny day with a high of 65, good for the local solar panels. Mostly clear Monday night also with a low around 38. Tuesday should be sunny again with a high of 67 and a low around 42. And Wednesday should be sunny again with a high of 72, a low around 50. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Solar-powered radio for open ears. Monday, May 9th, tune into all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM. Including at 9 a.m., it's time for the Hudson Valley Congressional Report with updates about the news, the votes, and more from the representatives in the Hudson Valley and the candidates who want to replace them in November. At 11 a.m., there are Women's Voices from Brendan Donegan live from the WGXC Hudson studio on his Playing Favorites show. He'll tune in Dolly Parton, Tammy Wynette, Loretta Lynn, Kitty Wells, and more until noon when it's time for Johnny Greenwood, Charles Mingus, Steve Ali, and others on the Deep Threes program. Then at 2 p.m., there is brand new music from around the world on the Vital Weekly show, this week with tracks from Fabio Orsi, Hannes Loschel, and Quattar Bazzini. There are shortwave radio songs at 3 p.m., and then Kieran Riley is live from Housatonic in Western Massachusetts at 4 o'clock with the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 7 p.m., it's time for Law and Disorder. 8 p.m., Bontenot's Radio has tracks from Yemi Alidi, Gene Knight, and Yuna Wah, among others. Then there's Tom Zay, Bitchin' Bajas, and the Body Dillaway Head Group on In My Room Radio at 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
If you have some broken electronics or equipment or jewelry that you want to repair, the Chatham Repair Cafe is going to be held on May 14th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Chatham Firehouse. The Chatham Repair Cafe is hosted by several climate smart communities in the area, and you can bring your broken item to the Chatham Repair Cafe to get fixed or learn how to fix it yourself. That's May 14th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Chatham Firehouse. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this and many other local community events. Listening to the three extra web streams available at wavefarm.org/listen or WGXC.org, any WGXC.org page. Click on the Listen button to hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, or the test site of Acoustic Commons. Live weather you can hear on your radio anytime you want at WGXC.org or wavefarm.org/listen. Hear the hydrophones in the Wave Farm pond in Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphone outside in the woods at Wave Farm in the test site of Acoustic Commons, and hear a live stream of an analog drone synthesizer playing the weather, the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature. At wavefarm.org/listen, you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and the test site of Acoustic Commons on any WGXC.org page. Click on the Listen button to tune in your weather.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, May 9th. 35.3% of the way through the year, we have 43 days left until summer. Early morning temperatures range from 36 degrees in Windham to 41 in Germantown. Soil temperature ranges from 49 degrees up in the hills to 54 degrees down in the valley. Dry conditions exist down to 16 inches below the surface. Watering is very necessary. The week, whole week, will be sunny, dry with cool to cold nights and warm days. That's it. Okay, if you're looking for specifics, fine. Today will be no cloud cover. It will have a high of 69 degrees happening at 2 p.m. Winds will pick up in the afternoon, but will not become a problem. Overnight, temperatures fall to 36 degrees. Be sure to bring in or cover any sensitive plants. Tomorrow will also be sunny and dry with a high of 72 happening at 3 p.m. 46 degrees overnight takes us into a sunny Wednesday with a high of 74. Thursday, high of 81. Some clouds finally show up. Pollen levels for today will be high, and it looks like it's going to stay that way all week. Oak, birch, and ash are in the top three of the pollen releasers. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 4:04 a.m., then high tide at 9:37 a.m., low tide again at 5:08 p.m., then high tide once again at 10:48 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 55 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:47 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:37 a.m. Looking way up, we see we will have a chance of a coronal mass ejection impact tomorrow. Currently, there are no coronal holes, so that means no near-term plasma stream impacts are predicted. Solar wind speed is currently 315 kilometers per second, coming in at a chunky 17.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 89. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of E-Team of Sunnyside, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Find out where the music takes Chris Bowers on the next Deep Threes as he folds hip-hop and soundtrack influences into his evolved jazz sound. Plus tracks from Morcabella, Echoplex, Kangdon Ray, and Clinton Shorter. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
KZMB, all zombie radio.
I would be a shooting star.
2022 new music there from Spiritualized. Their album is called Everything Was Beautiful, and that track was called Always Together With You.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times. Pro-choice activists protested Saturday outside the homes of Supreme Court Justices Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts. Last week, an unprecedented leak of a draft opinion signaled the court is likely to overturn Roe v. Wade. A new CBS poll finds nearly two-thirds of Americans believe the court should uphold Roe, while more than four out of five believe overturning it would endanger women. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday called the leaked draft disrespectful.
And here we are on Mother's Day, a week where the court has slapped women in the face in terms of disrespect for their judgment about the size and timing of their families.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says in a few days he'll bring to the floor legislation to codify abortion rights into law. But even if the bill could get majorities in the Senate and House, it's very unlikely to overcome a filibuster. First Lady Jill Biden made a surprise visit to Ukraine Sunday, where she visited a school classroom and met with the country's First Lady, Olena Zelenska.
So I just wanted to come and say Happy Mother's Day and say that the hearts of the American people are with the mothers of Ukraine.
A Russian bomb that hit a school-turned-shelter over the weekend may have killed 60. And the White House says new sanctions will bar Russian companies and citizens from using U.S. business services. Experts say the coronavirus continues to mutate, and a new Omicron variant could become the dominant strain here in weeks. There's no evidence it causes more severe disease, but Dr. Abrar Karan with the Stanford School of Medicine says the U.S. is not prepared.
We can't develop, you know, new vaccines fast enough to get us out of a surge. So if we're hit with another surge quickly, revaccinating the whole population of countries takes time, and we will be hit so hard once again.
Average daily COVID-19 hospitalizations are up about 10% since last week, according to federal figures. A U.S. grand jury on Saturday indicted 62-year-old Frank James on terrorism and other charges stemming from a New York subway attack last month. James is accused of planting smoke bombs and opening fire inside a subway car in Brooklyn, injuring 32 and setting off a national manhunt. And in Florida, a federal appeals court has temporarily reinstated a law limiting third-party voter registration, ballot drop boxes, and bringing food or water to people waiting in line at the polls. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Progressive activists and proponents of net neutrality are now openly questioning why the Joe Biden administration is doing so little to support its nominee to the Federal Communications Commission, Gigi Sohn, Common Dreams reports. The digital rights group Fight for the Future tweeted May 5th that, quote, Joe Biden and Senator Chuck Schumer promised to restore net neutrality, but instead they're sitting on the sidelines while Big Telecom mounts a massive dark money-funded smear campaign against their nominee to the FCC, Gigi Sohn, unquote. Net neutrality is creating an even playing field for the internet, not a place where the companies with the most money get the fastest speeds. Fight for the Future director Evan Greer said May 5th that the Trump administration's FCC, quote, repealed it, Dems promised to restore it, and they've so far failed to do so by caving to industry pressure and slow walking, unquote, Sohn's nomination. Quote, the only reason for this is corruption, plain and simple, unquote, Greer said, adding that it is, quote, a good time to remember that Comcast, AT&T, Verizon, etc. are huge donors to Democratic leadership and candidates. They've got their hands all up in there, unquote. The Obama administration passed net neutrality in 2015, and Sohn was largely the author of those rules. Now she's being attacked by the Fraternal Order of Police, who claim her, quote, forceful advocacy of end-to-end encryption and user-only access and employment history, public policy stances, and social media activity, quote, indicated serious animus towards law enforcement officers and the rule of law, unquote. TechDirt founder Mike Masnick says that, quote, the spear campaign against Sohn has been beyond ridiculous. Everyone who knows anything about her knows that it's pure nonsense, that she's beyond qualified, and that she will do an amazing job. The smear merchants are doing it because they know she'll do a good job, unquote. Carl Bode, writing in Tech Dirt, blamed the Democrats. Quote, it took the Biden administration 9 months to even nominate Sohn, given the telecom industry ample time to galvanize opposition, unquote. Biden's administration also isn't defending Sohn publicly or pushing to move the Senate confirmation voting process forward. Quote, the phony appeal of authoritarianism can only be defeated if the Democratic National Committee shakes off corruption and truly represents the public interest, unquote, Bode added. Quote, you don't accomplish this by letting a hugely popular media and telecom reformer drown under unopposed GOP telecom propaganda attacks, unquote. This has been the Daily Radio News. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news.
Firebombing clinics. What type of shit is that? Orwellian, in fact. If Roe v. Wade was overturned, would not the desire remain intact, leaving young girls to risk their health, doctors to botch and watch as they kill themselves? Now, I hate to sound macabre, but hey, isn't it my job to lay it on the masses and get them off their asses to fight against these fascists? So, whatever you decide, make that move with pride. Sid will be there and so will I. An insect till I die. Till I die. Rhythms and sounds spinning around. Confrontations across the nation. Your block, my block, dreadlocks. What a shock. Land of the free, but not me. Not me. Not me. Not me.
We'll be right back.
Bartender, let's make it a double.
Even now, when my burdens cast me into the throes of midnight, I hum again this little song. Sing it with me, neighbor.
Wah, 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 wah.
Well, let me put it like this.
There are Jews in the world, there are Buddhists, there are Hindus and Mormons, and then there are those that follow Mohammed, but I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate. Sperm that can't be
Jacksonville, there's just anywhere. But God loves those who treat their seamen with more care.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is raised.
If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred.
Every sperm is good.
Mine.
Here is this week's Hudson Valley Congressional Report from WGXC from Philip Grant and myself, Tom Rowe, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives of the Hudson Valley in Congress and the candidates who want to replace them. Current Democrat Representatives Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and Sean Maloney vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik voted with Biden's positions 18% of the time.
Louis Fair Sedoni and Nicholas Pandos report in the New York Times that Governor Kathy Hochul picked Representative Antonio Delgado as her new lieutenant governor. The choice is considered strange for two reasons. Typically, a governor-lieutenant governor ticket includes one candidate representing New York City's large population, and the choice makes it more difficult for Democrats to hold on to Delgado's 19th congressional district. Delgado, though, is not mired in controversy, an important consideration for the replacement of Brian Benjamin, who was indicted on federal bribery charges last month, leading to his resignation. Democrats voted May 2nd in Albany to change the state election law, allowing Benjamin to take his name off the ballot and Delgado to put his name on the ballot. Hochul said, and I quote, "Having won competitive primary and general elections for Congress, Representative Antonio Delgado is a battle-tested campaigner who has the experience to serve New Yorkers and the work ethic to get our party's message out to voters, unite communities, and lift up Democratic candidates statewide." In the June primary election, Delgado gets two Latino women opponents, Diana Arena, a former New York City council member, and Anna Maria Archila, a progressive activist. Which Democrats might run for Delgado's New York 19th district seat is unclear. So far, Gareth Rhodes, a former state official who previously attempted to win the seat, has ruled out running for the seat now. The New York Times reports that according to two people familiar with his thinking, Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan is seriously considered running for the now open seat. Republican Mark Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive who ran for governor in 2018, will run against whichever Democrat emerges for the seat. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Governor Kathy Hochul's decision, announced May 3rd, to make Representative Antonio Delgado lieutenant governor, adds another vote to the summer elections in New York, with all sorts of cascading effects across the ballots. Delgado will take the state oath of office this month at a date to be determined. Hochul said, and I quote, The only question is the exact timing he will resign from Congress. There is work to be finished before he assumes these responsibilities, end quote. The day before, former Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin, recently indicted on corruption charges, removed himself from the ballot after the legislature passed a law to allow political nominees charged with a crime to vacate a party ticket. So now Delgado will appear on the ballot for the statewide primary election for Lieutenant Governor, scheduled for June 28th as Hochul's running mate. Then Spectrum News reports a special election for Delgado's 19th district seat must be set within 10 days of the resignation and must be held within 3 months. Mark Molinaro, the Republican Dutchess County executive who is already running for the seat, will likely be on the ballot against an, at this point, unknown Democrat. Assemblymember Martiza Davila of Brooklyn told City and State about Hochul's decision, and I quote, "You left an open seat in Congress. This is what we're trying to avoid," end quote. She said she feels confident that the seat will return to Republican hands now. Davila added, and I quote, "She has to live with her own choices," end quote. Other Democrats were more optimistic about retaining the seat. State Senator Brad Holyman of Manhattan told City and State, and I quote, "We have strong Democratic candidates, I'm sure, looking at that seat. I would expect a worthy successor in the Democratic nomination," end quote. State Democratic Party Chair Jay Jacobs told City and State that the party has several potential candidates in mind for the seat, but declined to say who exactly. Two local politicians are floating their names so far. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, who lost to Delgado in the Democratic primary in 2018, hinted at trying again in a May 3rd tweet. Ryan wrote, referring to the news that the Supreme Court would overturn Roe v. Wade, and I quote, "After last night's devastating news, it is clear now more than ever we need champions in Congress who will protect fundamental rights and freedom and fight back against Washington extremists. So stay tuned," end quote. Anonymous sources also claim State Senator Michelle Hinchey of Saugerties may run for the seat. A source with knowledge of the senator's plans said, and I quote, "She's assessing where she can best help our communities, whether that's in Albany or Washington," end quote. Hinchey, in her own election, turned the 46th Senate district in the Hudson Valley from Republican control to Democrats in 2020. The source added, and I quote, "Everything is on the table," end quote. Both could run, and because redistricting has been thrown out and maps are being withdrawn, the primary election for congressional seats will now happen in August. And if a current office holder such as Ryan or Hinchey runs for the Democrats, they will need to find a replacement. Hinchey right now is running for re-election this fall against Republican Rich Amador.
Kate Lisa is reporting for New York State of Politics that State Senator Michelle Hinchey announced on May 6th that she has chosen to seek re-election to a second term in the state legislature's upper chamber, ending speculation that she would launch a congressional run. Hinchey, a Democrat from Saugerties, said earlier in the week she was thinking about seeking the Democratic nomination in the 19th Congressional District after Governor Kathy Hochul announced the appointment of U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado as the state's lieutenant governor. Delgado, a Democrat from Rhinebeck, has held the seat since 2019 and will step down soon with a special election for the seat and then another in November. Hinchey announced her plan to seek re-election on Twitter. Quote, "I ran for office because that's how I could best serve my community, to give upstate residents a real seat at the table," unquote, Hinchey said. Quote, "When scenarios change, reflection on where the work is best continued, where you make the biggest difference, and what's truly at stake is brought to the forefront. But with the events of this week and the impending and detrimental Supreme Court decision to overturn a person's right to choose, it's never been more clear that state governments are where the work is most important. With our federal government in turmoil, states are now the active battlegrounds in our fight to protect our democracy and to ensure equitable and just policies that protect all of us," unquote, she wrote. Retired State Trooper Republican Richard Amador of Rensselaerville announced in March that he is running against Hinchey for a second time. He lost his bid for the seat in 2020. Hinchey did not endorse another Democrat for the congressional nomination. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, a Democrat who lost the congressional nomination to Delgado in a 2018 primary, was the first person this week to announce that he is considering a run for the federal seat. On Twitter May 6, Ryan said he will make a decision to run for Congress soon and supported Hinchey's Senate campaign. Also on May 6th, City and State New York reporter Rebecca C. Lewis wrote on Twitter that a, quote, source with knowledge says that Democratic leaders in New York 19 have lined up behind Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan for the special election to replace soon-to-be Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado, unquote. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
I am making a time sculpture. A sculpture made by taking this recording and looping itself over and over again, over itself, to create a form that exists as a sculpture in time, just as I could take a piece of clay, shape it over and over again, until I have a form that's real